Good morning, church. Would you please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 33 to 34 with me. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning. For these are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame.
Good morning. I'm going to stand back here. I'm fighting my allergies, and I don't want to sneeze or cough into the microphone, so I've got a better shot back here. Who else has trouble with allergies right now? Okay. I'm allergic to going back to work tomorrow. I don't know what you're allergic to. I thought we should talk about cold turkey today, right? How many of you had cold turkey Thursday night? Friday? Saturday, today, how many of you used your microwave instead so you don't have to have cold turkey? If you are still doing turkey or if you threw some in the freezer, you'll want to get this book and get 40 fantastic leftover turkey recipes. It's with us and it will haunt us. Cold turkey, of course, can have another meaning as well. I saw this cartoon and thought it was kind of clever. If you can't read it, it says, I've decided to quit Thanksgiving leftovers cold turkey. We use that phrase to talk about stopping bad habits, specifically stopping addictions, but more generally just any kind of bad habit. And if you just jump in there and stop with no help, we usually call that cold turkey. I read a few speculations on why it is called that. I don't think I'll go into those. I don't think anybody really knows. But today I thought it might be a good time to talk about quitting sin. Cold turkey. And that's kind of what this passage sounds like, isn't it? I'm not really going to go into the passage into great detail, but he says, come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning. Kind of sounds like stop cold turkey. And so I got to reading and I found some cold turkey passages in the book of John. On the lips of Jesus, five times, he says, stop doing this or that. And I'll read those to you in just a moment. But is that stop cold turkey? You know, I looked at a couple of other versions, and some of them translate the verses a little bit differently from that. But if you look it up in its original language, the grammar and the tense of the verb seems to suggest this is stuff they were doing, and Jesus wanted them to stop doing. It kind of sounds like stop cold turkey. See what you think. Here they are. In John 2, when Jesus cleansed the temple, he said, stop turning my Father's house into a market. They were turning it into a market. And Jesus said, stop doing that. In John chapter 6, to the Jews who didn't like his teaching, Jesus said, stop grumbling among yourselves. And they were grumbling. And he told them to stop. In John chapter 7, to Jews who thought he was demon-possessed, Jesus said, stop judging by mere appearances. That's what they were doing. He said, stop doing that. John 20, to Thomas, who didn't see Jesus when he first appeared after he was raised from the dead, Jesus said, stop doubting and believe. And then very similar to the introductory passage in 1 Corinthians 15, John says to the crippled man he healed at Bethesda, stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. How do you respond when you hear that? Stop sinning. Is that something that we can do or should try to do? Well, I want to talk about that just for a little bit today. But before we do, because it's a holiday, and because I'm so generous, and magnanimous. I'm going to treat you to a really long video sermon illustration, 6 minutes long. I would never allow this if somebody else wanted to. But I'm going to give you a 6 minute video because after I do this, you will never forget the point of today's sermon. In case he exaggerated, Bob Newhart is not here, but his video is here. I'm sure some of y'all have seen this. Bob Newhart is an older comedian, and he makes this point unmistakably clear for us. So watch this video. How many of you want to become counselors now? Okay, so I'd say there's a good chance you'll remember the basic point of the message today. Jesus and Bob Newhart aren't exactly the same. However, there are some differences, and I thought we'd talk about this just a little bit more. Can we just stop it? Is it really that simple? Can we just stop sinning? Well, there are some other scriptures that bring a different perspective, and I look at this like different scriptures looking at the same problem in some different ways. For example, in 1 John 1, we read that we will never be sinless. If anybody claims to be without sin, he deceives himself, verse 8 says. And if anyone claims they have not sinned, they make him out to be a liar. So we will sin. I don't think we will be able to stop sinning completely. In addition, 2 Corinthians 3 talks about transformation as a process. It says we are being transformed. And I hope you've experienced a little bit of that to where that rings true with you. We're not there yet, but we are in process. We are being transformed. And so I don't think we're going to be able to stop sinning completely. But at the same time, I think sometimes we make excuses for our sin. Sometimes we go to 1 John 1 or 2 Corinthians 3 or other places and say, well, nobody's perfect, and we use that as an excuse for, I can't be perfect. Kind of like the lady in the video bringing up her past or bringing up her horoscope or whatever. We bring up these things and we use them as excuses for why we can't stop a particular sin. I understand that our past does affect us greatly. It really does. But still, maybe the perspective of the verses that we read from Jesus reminds us that at some point we have to take responsibility for our lives, even if our past is affecting us. It also occurred to me that we may need to decide sometimes to get ourselves to the point where we can stop a particular sin. If your sin is you drink too much alcohol, well, when you have a bad day and you find your way to a bar and you order your drink and you're holding it in your hands and raising it to your lips, it may be a little late to try to stop then. Even then you might be able to, but it's going to be tough to. Maybe a better way of stopping is to stop much earlier in the process. And you can make some decisions that will help you with your way of thinking about things and learning your triggers and all kinds of things like that that will help you stop the sin before it gets to that critical point. We have a program here called Celebrate Recovery that is specifically designed to help people with all kinds of hurts and habits and hang-ups, a lot of alcohol and drug addiction kinds of issues. Buck Sellers is now raising his hand and saying, hey, I run that program. That's the ministry that I do. If you want to learn more about it for those particular kinds of matters, you might want to see him. But going back to the perspective of Jesus, I don't think we're ever going to stop any of our sins unless we decide to. At some point, you have to heed Jesus' words and take him seriously. He really does want me to stop these things, and I just need to stop it. And maybe the video will help us remember that we have a responsibility for that. So, again, the things Jesus said, stop turning my Father's house into a market. Stop commercializing the faith. Stop commercializing religion. Stop grumbling among yourselves. That one hits kind of close to home, doesn't it? Stop grumbling. Stop judging by mere appearances. Stop doubting. Stop sinning. The perspective of Jesus is that we do need to make choices to stop things like that. There's probably something else. There's probably something that you're glad I didn't put on this list because you would feel exposed. And that's the one that I want to encourage you to think about. Whatever that one is, no asking your friends what they thought of. But what is it that you really need to stop? And there may be a lot of decisions that you need to make about that particular sin. But at some point, Jesus reminds us, we just have to decide we're going to stop that. And so I want to encourage you to think about that for yourself. I had a mentor who told me that in my writing and in my speaking, almost all of my examples were negative. That is, examples of how I failed to do the thing we're supposed to do. And I told him, well, there's so much material there, you know, all the things that I've done wrong. He said, well, we need some positive examples as well. So with a little bit of hesitation, I'm going to give you a partially positive example of this for me. And I'm doing this to let you know I am trying to practice what I preach. I do try to live this life, but also to say we really can make some progress on things. Sometimes I feel like we kind of all get down in the mud together and we all admit that we're sinful, which we are, and we all admit we need his grace, which we do. We all admit that he has great grace, which he does, but sometimes that can kind of get to a sort of a mode of nobody's ever getting any better. And I don't think that's true to the scriptures as well. So let me tell you about one pretty good example of a positive of this kind of thing for me. Back earlier this year, I decided I needed to lose some weight. And to be fair, I didn't really do the just stop it thing, you know, just stop eating cheeseburgers. I didn't take that approach. I took more the approach that I mentioned of making a decision to put me in a place where I could make some progress with the cheeseburgers and the enchiladas. And the decision I made was in February. I made a decision to participate in a program. Wasn't really a diet. It was a program that was designed to retrain our thinking about food and the way we eat. And I committed to the program. To be honest, I was still holding the cheeseburger card in my hand. I was thinking, I'm not sure I'm going to stop cheeseburgers, but I will do this program. And this is a positive example, but still I've got the negatives in there. So I did the program, and I was impressed with it. It wasn't a diet. It wasn't a do this, do this, don't do this, don't do this. It was retraining our thinking, and it felt very Christian. It was not overtly Christian, but all of the focus on changing your thinking to change your behavior sounded a lot like being transformed by the renewing of your mind, or be renewed in the spirit of your minds. And so I went through that whole program, and lo and behold, I started eating less cheeseburgers. I started eating healthier. In fact, I'm very proud to say that on Thursday at lunch, I had a half of a turkey sandwich and three tomatoes. And then Thursday night we had our Thanksgiving meal, and I had quite a bit more. Okay, so I don't have this down perfectly, but I have cut back, and I have lost some weight. Haven't lost much in the last 3 months, but in those first few months I lost quite a bit, and my pattern of eating has changed. It's still not perfect. I think probably whatever we do, it won't be perfect. But I share that with you again, not to brag. I've got plenty of the negative stuff I'll be glad to share with you afterward if you think I am bragging. But I think once in a while we need to hear that it really is possible to make progress on the things that God tells us to do. And we're not likely to make any progress against sin if we don't heed Jesus' words when he says, stop. Got to choose to stop this stuff. And so I encourage you, whatever it may be for you, to make a change. And if you want to talk to somebody about that or pray with somebody about that, we'll have some of our shepherds and their wives at the back right now while we stand and sing together.